Good afternoon. I'd like to call the Senate Finance Committee meeting to order. Please silence all cell phones. The time is 1:45 p.m. on Thursday, March 14, 2024. Today I'm joined by Co-Chair Stedman, Senator Bishop, Senator Keel, Senator Merrick. Senator Wilson is away on other business in another committee, and Senator Hoffman is out on personal business. We'd like to look at, we have one bill we're bringing up this afternoon. It's HB 148 by the House Education Committee. HB 148 is the Alaska Performance Scholarship Program, House Education Committee. This is the first hearing. We have already heard the companion bill and moved the companion bill, SB 56, by Senator Dunbar. It's in rules with, and Senator Dunbar wants to go ahead and hold the companion to be the vehicle. Representative Ruffridge will introduce the bill. He will bring up his aide, Bud Sexton. We have for the presentation this afternoon, I'd like to invite Representative Ruffridge up. And he has some guests in the gallery, if you'd like to introduce them. Please identify yourself for the record and go ahead with your introduction.
Yes, thank you, Chair Olson. For the record, my name is Justin Ruffridge. I'm the representative for District 7, which is Kenai and Soldotna. And you are correct. I have been joined by my wonderful family. We're here on spring break. My wife, Jessie, my children, Ellison and Lillian, and my nephew, Lucas, is also here. So I'm also joined by my chief of staff, Bud Sexton, who will be happy to take us through the presentation at your discretion, Mr. Chair. In brief introduction, this is a House Education Committee bill dealing with the Alaska Performance Scholarship, an excellent program that is administered by the Alaska Commission on Post-Secondary Education. And we do have Director Eifert here as well to help add some context and some, I guess, institutional knowledge to the particulars of this bill. The Alaska Performance Scholarship has, in recent years, not been utilized as much by Alaskan students graduating high school. And there's a number of reasons for that that this bill aims to address, and we'll go through that in the presentation, so I won't bore you with the details just yet. But one of the big things that I'm excited about in this bill and really support is the ability for technical and vocational education to be highlighted and utilized with the dollars that are put forward in the performance scholarship. In addition, this bill also allows a step-up provision, another thing that I'm excited about, we'll go into detail about, to encourage performance throughout the post-secondary education for the students. It is very important to utilize the performance scholarship at a high level because students that use the performance scholarship stay in Alaska at a much higher rate than students that go outside of the state for their education. This bill actually really, in a financial capacity, does not aim to affect state finances in any sort of negative way, as the money is already appropriated from the higher education fund to this scholarship program. And in the last number of years, the amount that has been allocated just has not been utilized due to some of the things that my chief of staff will illuminate in these presentations. So thank you again to members of Senate Finance for hearing this bill, and certainly happy to answer questions at any point. Until then, I'll turn it over to my Chief of Staff, Mr. Sexton.
Do you have any questions, my members of the committee, for the committee's, the House Education Committee's Chairman? If you don't have any, Mr. Sexton, go ahead and introduce yourself for the record and go ahead with your presentation.
Thank you, Chair. For the record, Bud Sexton, staff to Representative Ruffridge, and thank you again for the opportunity to talk to you today about House Bill 148 for the Alaska Performance Scholarship. A little bit of a background. So the APS program was first offered in 2011, and obviously there have been a tremendous number of students who have earned the Alaska Performance Scholarship, just over 30,000, and there are still lesser number of students who actually have used the Alaska Performance Scholarship, and we'll go into some of those reasons why a little bit later. More than $112 million has been awarded to students, so a great opportunity there. This bill addresses numerous issues and problems that have been raised by Alaska Commission on Post-Secondary Education, as well as the university. And we'll talk in greater detail on those in this presentation, but specifically notification and financial barriers. We're going to talk about some trends and some testing barriers, eligibility challenges, and as Representative Ruffridge mentioned, the step-up provision and CTE. So notification. Alaska ACPE, Alaska Commission on Post-Secondary Education, has talked about some of the issues, which is students not being aware of the APS program and their eligibility soon enough to really influence their decision on where to attend their post-secondary education. Many students and Director Efford can actually give anecdotal and statements that other students have made to this effect. But many times they're not aware of their APS program or their eligibility before they've already made the decision to go outside for college. So we have added several new dates as part of this bill to address that. Notification date number one, in the 9th and 10th grades, students will be notified about this program. And again, the goal is to make sure all high school students are aware of the APS program and the requirements and pathways in order for them to be able to achieve that. Number two date, before graduation, we're going to notify them at least 18 months. Previously it was 6 months in current statutes, where basically that ACPE shall award to a student. So it makes that requirement that they're going to become known a year and a half before graduation, which again can help to directly influence their decision on where to attend their college experience. And third date is during their junior year. And again, this is the district making notification. Again, reminding students of, you know, you're doing great. We want you to finish strong, finish out your high school education, and be able to make sure you qualify for this program. A fourth date is after they have graduated, and the ACPE can make sure they have received notification by August 15th that they have, in fact, received the APS award, and previously was end of September. Again, this goes to the fact that we want to make sure that they are well aware of that they have met the requirements and are in line to receive this great scholarship. As we have known since this program has begun in 2011, that since 2010 to 23, we all can recognize that the cost of attendance for our college institutions have greatly increased. So if you take a look at the very far right column, on average, about a 45% increase in the cost of attendance since 2010. So this scholarship increases greatly will help our students. So this bill does raise the scholarship amounts, and you have before you what the current levels are, as well as the bill, the numbers proposed in this bill. So you can see that it's a very good rise in the amount. Our belief is that currently the lower dollars amount that students would receive have become a little bit of a non-factor in some of their decision about where to attend. So we're looking to help increase that. The number and percentage of students, as Representative Ruffridge mentioned, has been declining since its inception. And we're seeing a real remarkable decrease. In 2023, 17% of students used that program. And so, again, that's the lowest since inception when the program originated in 2011. Some contributing factors to this trend. So I'm going to talk through a few different policies that have happened at the state level. In 2016, state policy prior to 2016, policy was that the state paid for students to take the standardized tests, which is the ACT, SAT, or the work keys. But in 2016 was the change where the state no longer paid for that. I'm going to show you some statistics in just a moment, which really highlights that impact. Also, in the later part of 2018, around that later part of the decade, as you recall, there was a lot of uncertainty whether the Alaska Performance Scholarship Program would continue. And so that, remarkably, that has had a continued effect even through recent years when the APS program has not been challenged. Standardized tests, again, we will talk about that access in just a moment. So standardized testing. In 2017, again, the previous slide mentioned in 16, state requirements changed. And in 17, you saw a sharp decrease of from 4,100 students taking the test in 16 to 3,000 students in 17. So just that 1 year, a remarkable decrease in student. And the only thing that changed was the state not paying for the test. In the discussions about whether the standardized test and the importance of that, a 2020 study from University of Chicago talked about the students with the grades were five times more of a better predictor at college success than the standardized testing. And again, sometimes these different students do better, as we know, on standardized testing than others. So graduating percentage of graduating students who did not meet the Alaska Performance Scholarship eligibility requirements. So again, the kind of the takeaway from here is that not everyone will meet the eligibility requirements and the GPA requirements. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit more in this bill, how we address the differences in both of those. Perhaps one of the best case studies of how the standardized testing can affect the number of students who will qualify was during the COVID pandemic. And this just really shows you that in 19 versus 20, the number of students who now qualified because the standardized tests were discontinued for the 2020 graduates. So just that one change alone boosted dramatically the number of students who were eligible for this program. So in this bill, we offer students the ability to choose or use either their GPA or the standardized testing as part of the requirement for the Alaska Performance Scholarship. Previously, they would have to use both of them in order to qualify. So again, we know some students may do better on the GPA. Some may do better on the standardized test. But previous statute required both, and that's a great big challenge for that. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. The step-up provision is really a great part of this that we believe will really help students. So we know that there are some students in high school who, for one reason or another, may not have their best GPA. You know, they may have extracurricular activities or something else where their GPA may not be as high as what they are actually capable of. So when they get into college, after two semesters in college, the commission and the school will look at their grades. And if they have indeed raised their GPA grade level in college, they can qualify for a higher level of their Alaska Performance Scholarship. So we believe this will incentivize hard work during college, will help encourage them to stay within their college program and perform really well. So this is a great thing that we believe, again, they can take their scholarship up to a higher level, which will definitely help them in later years of college as the courses oftentimes increase in dollar amounts. Alaska Performance Scholarship encourages college graduates. The takeaway from this slide is basically Alaska Performance Scholarship students versus non-APS students. So the number of students with an APS who received an undergrad degree within 6 years is basically double that of students who did not earn the APS. And similar increases with bachelor's and or certificates or occupational endorsements. So by and large, students who earn an APS definitely stay in college, and they do better. Under this eligibility program, this bill will increase the number of years when somebody can use the APS from 6 to 8 years. And again, this still maintains the requirement of using 4 years worth of funding, but they can use it during that 8-year period of time. The takeaway from this slide is how graduates are definitely staying in Alaska. So this bill will help incentivize and make sure students do stay in Alaska. And if you look along the very bottom of that slide, you'll see the number of years after graduation. So if I look to the very bottom and far right of that slide, graduating class of 2012, they've now been 11 years. So you can see that APS recipients, which is in the yellow dot, 62% of them are still in Alaska and still in the workforce. And at the very light gray and is now at 34% on that far right. And again, so those who maybe qualified for the Alaska Performance Scholarship, but they did not receive their award for one reason or another. So it just shows in our belief that those students who are earning the APS, they are staying in Alaska, and they are continuing to be a part of our workforce, which is definitely one of the needs that I think all of us in both bodies have heard repeatedly, that we need more workers in Alaska. So this really helps that out. And the percentage of students enrolling to college outside of Alaska, we know that roughly 2/3 of those students who enroll in college outside of Alaska will not return to Alaska upon graduation. And so, again, this bill will help maintain our great Alaska workforce for many years to come. So this is the highlight again, if you take a look at the two graphs. And basically the top blue line is a cumulative of the bottom two. And if you take a look at out of states versus in-state, we know that, you know, 4 to 5,700 fewer Alaska students per year have not pursued college in-state or out-of-state. So we really hope this will help change the perspective of students, give them that incentive to go to college, whether it's a certificate program or occupational, because both of them are allowed through the APS program. As was mentioned earlier, CTE component. Currently, there are 24 Alaska post-secondary institutions who qualify to enroll students with the APS program. And this will give you some of the percentages and numbers of students who are using the APS program and the colleges which they are attending. Workforce development. This is very similar to one of the previous slides, that we know that students that are employed, once they receive the APS, they have a higher rate of employment 6 years after graduation. So again, just a little different perspective from one of the previous slides, but again, it shows the same pattern that students who are APS recipients stay in state and are employed at a much greater rate than those who were ineligible or those that were eligible but did not accept the APS award. So again, just a little bit of a summary. This 148 bill does address many different issues that have been addressed through Alaska Commission on Post-Secondary Education and our universities and others. And I greatly appreciate your listening for this. We do have Director Efford, who, if you have any questions regarding the APS program, should be more than happy to address those.
Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Representative Mr. Sexton. Mr. Sexton, you're looking very well today. I had a question about students who are enrolled part-time. I think in another version of this bill, there is a provision to allow part-time students to continue to use their APS award. Is that something that that you would be open to?
Mr. Sexton, or Representative Ruffridge.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, through the Chair, Senator Keel. Absolutely. I think that was the component mentioned in the bill currently that extends the use of that APS award to 8 years. And so there is an effort made to obviously not extend more than 4 years of total award, but allow students to maybe attend school for a semester, and then if they need to take some time off, still be able to use that award for up to 8 years.
Bob Senator, thank you.
You know, Bud Sexton, for the record, staff to Representative Rufford. So I believe you're also referring to the portion that is in Senate Bill 56 that is not in this bill. So, yes, there are definitely an opportunity, I think, for part-time students. As Representative Rufford mentioned, you know, extending the eligibility is a great aspect for this. And perhaps Director Efford, if you would like, she could also speak to the different provisions for part-time students as it relates to this bill.
Thanks.
With your...
Follow-up, Senator Keel.
Another question, if I may, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. Can you walk us through how Alaska homeschool students can qualify? And I'm particularly focused here on a student who is not with one of the district correspondence programs, but really with... on an independent path, do they have access, or would they have access under this bill to the APS?
Representative Rufford.
Thank you, Chair Olson, and through the chair, Senator Keel. This was actually a massive discussion topic on the House floor in regards to independent homeschoolers, and there was an amendment offered by a representative to start that discussion, and it led to an effort, I think, on behalf of my office, and I'll allow Mr. Sexton to speak on that as well, to really pursue whether or not independent homeschoolers have the option to apply for the APS. And the answer to that is actually yes. I talked through this with a number of individuals who are independent homeschoolers that actually have used the current APS program. And there is a form that is filled out on behalf of the Department of Education asking, essentially, in order to obtain a certificate of graduation or other things, you have to walk through some of the options or things that you had performed as far as educational curriculum and things of that nature in your independent homeschooling journey. And that is then gone through, signed, sealed, delivered, so to speak. And that does allow those students who are independently homeschooled to qualify for APS. That being said, under the current statute and regulations, those students merely have to, and still with this bill, show that they have met the qualifications of the curriculum that are in statute, and those are not changing. But they also would have to take currently a standardized test. In this bill, it would be a standardized test or a grade point average that would be assessed by whomever is their independent homeschool coordinator.
Mr. Sexton, do you have anything to add to that?
No. Well, just one minor thing, Chair Bud Sexton, staff to Representative Rufford. So as Representative Rufford mentioned, yes, there is a process through the Department of Education Early Development for students in that situation. To walk their way through. The other thing I would also mention is there is also the Alaska Education Grant, another type of scholarship. And just as with many different types of scholarships, there are eligibility requirements and process to go through. So this is just another similar type of scholarship that does have requirements of steps to walk through. So as long as they meet that, then, you know, they would qualify.
Thank you.
Officer, yeah. Sir Merrick.
Thank you, Chair Olson, Representative Rufford, Mr. Sexton. Thank you for your presentation. Can we get a copy of the all others that are part of the recipients by institution? I'm just curious what the less than 1% are, just out of curiosity and to see how many students are participating now and how many might in the future.
You give it to the chairman, we'll distribute to the members of the committee.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Through the chair, we also have a list of the number of students per school district that is also part of the documents. I believe you would have already received. It's in the Appendix B, Bravo, and I can certainly make that available. It's at the end of that really big 30, 40-page report that they put out. So for senators who are interested in seeing exactly how many of you students from your districts qualify, that's a great resource.
Thank you.
Do you also have numbers that show how many have completed their studies at college and gotten a degree or gotten a certificate if they went to a vocational school?
Through the chair, Bud Sexton, Representative Ruffridge, I would defer to Director Effort, but I'm sure they have great level of statistics, and I'm sure we can be able to get all that information for you.
And the last question I have is, what about graduate schools? Is the APS, the Performance Scholarship, eligible for graduate schools, especially if there's an interruption in their continuing education?
You know, to the chair, Bud Sexton, for Representative Ruffridge, that is one of the things that I think is a great feature of this bill by extending from 6 years to 8 years. And it also does allow for graduate students. So this is a great opportunity, honestly, if anyone did choose to go outside for their undergrad, to be able to come back and still take it and have time enough to take advantage of this APS. And again, with these higher dollar amounts, that would really come in handy, I'm sure, for that graduate level study.
Last question I have is there a grade level that they have to maintain in order to be eligible for the APS scholarship?
I would defer to Director Effort on that exact question.
She can answer the question when she comes up. Any further questions by members of the committee for the bill sponsor or his chief of staff? Not. Thank you very much for bringing this bill forward.
Thank you, Chair and Senators.
You can stay there or you can go back to your seat if you'd like. At this time, we have invited testimony Sana Eford, who's the Executive Director for the Alaska Commission on Post-Secondary Education. She will talk about some of the fiscal notes and answer some of the questions. We want to note that this bill adds about another $2.5 million to the program and will also add another $1.2 million to another program of the Alaska Education Grants that is also funded at half this program. Ms. Seifert, identify yourself for the record. Go ahead with your testimony.
Yes. Good afternoon, Chair Olson and members of the committee. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here today. This is Sana Eford. I'm Executive Director of the Alaska Commission on Post-Secondary Education. And I would like to, if I could, Chair Olson, go back to your last question about the Alaska Education Grant. There is no GPA requirement for eligibility for that. It is actually needs-based, income-based, and it's based on those individuals filling out their FAFSA to prioritize their need, financial need.
But the AEG is different than the APS.
Correct.
And what is the difference as far as grade point averages?
For the Alaska Performance Scholarship, as we've been sharing, it is performance-based. So there's a GPA requirement based on the tier that the student qualifies for. So that's different. For the Alaska Education Grant, again, it does not require any specific curriculum or any GPA. It just requires that they are enrolled, certified in a program in Alaska. They have to, in both, of course, they have to be attending in-state, and that they have a demonstrated financial need for the grant.
Is there any consideration of schools that are not within the boundaries of the state of Alaska?
I'm sorry, I did not.
Are there any discussions that are being brought up about people that go to institutions that are not within the state of Alaska?
Chair Olson, I have heard a number of conversations about consideration for students that may be going out of state for programs that are not offered in Alaska at Alaska institutions.
I guess I specifically was asking about law schools. As you pointed out, we don't have a law school here in the state of Alaska. Would they be eligible if they went to a law school outside the state of Alaska?
Through Chair Olson, at this time, no. Both of these programs are actually for in-state. Mm-hmm. However, the Alaska Commission also maintains a partnership with WICHE, which is the Western Interstate Compact, and we do have partnerships with other institutions that allow Alaska students to attend, have access to programs not offered in Alaska for other professional degrees, and they would get a break on out-of-state tuition.
One last question I have for you. What about those students that are involved in the WIME program when they have to go to Seattle or other states for their clinical years? Are they still eligible for the APS?
If they are not enrolled, if they are enrolled through a degree or a certification program through an institution in Alaska, that could qualify, I believe. But if it is totally out of state with no coordination piece by an in-state institution, that would not qualify for these two current in-state programs.
So at least at this point, for those students that are going to medical school under the WIME program, they do not get help from APS or EEG.
Chair Olson, they do at this point for 2 years because the way the WAMI medical program is set up, those students go for 2 years to the University of Alaska at Anchorage. Mm-hmm. And so while they're attending classes here and are at the University of Alaska Anchorage campus, they do qualify to use the APS or the AEG if they were eligible for that, for those years that they are attending in Alaska here through the university.
Any further questions by members of the committee for Ms. Eifert on those specific subjects? Go ahead and continue on with your remarks on the fiscal notes and those kind of things.
Yes, so Chair Olson and members of the committee, there are three fiscal notes from the commission associated with HB 148. And the first one is OMB component 2990, Alaska Performance Scholarship Awards. And the as you've heard from Representative Ruffridge and staff, Mr. Sexton, this bill amends the qualification criteria by adding an option for career and technical education to the academic curriculum. It inserts a definition for career cluster. It removes a minimum score on the college entrance or standardized examination requirement, and it adds language that would allow either the GPA or the standardized test. It increases the amounts for the award. It ensures students find out in an earlier stage if they have achieved the award. And so the calculations that the commission used, if you see on page 2 of that we started with the current APS actuals in the current year, FY23, as our base number. We applied the increased amounts for current students in the different tiers, and so each of those tiers are increased. So we calculated the amounts that the current recipients would cost with an increased award amounts. And then we took a very conservative projected 2% increase in usage in the first year of the new, if the eligibility criteria changes for the APS award. And then in the preceding years, we used a 1% increase in the number of students for years 26 through 29. And I feel we wanted to ensure that we were giving a true picture of possibility increases for the award. If the award, the true amount of an increase will be current students and the increase in the award amounts. The estimated amount is, not knowing exactly how many more students would qualify or be eligible, under the new eligibility requirements. So we feel like it may take a full 4 years for new ninth graders, new freshmen coming into the high schools to get the information, to understand the new eligibility requirements, and then to actually qualify and use the award in 4 years. And so with that information, we are estimating that for FY25, an additional $2,264,000 for the performance scholarships. In 26, $2,404,200. In 27, $2,545,700. 28, $2,688,700 in FY29, $2,833,100, and in FY2030, $2,978,900. The one thing I would like to point out, the current statute, and this is funded through the Higher Education Investment Fund, the current statute lays out that the Department of Revenue would calculate a 7% amount on the current balance in the Higher Education Investment Fund, and that amount is sent to the Department of Education, to the Commission, to be used for two-thirds the Alaska Performance Scholarship and one-third for the Alaska Education Grants. The numbers that were provided by the Department of Revenue for FY24, which are our current budget, the Alaska performance amount that could have been appropriated and used for the scholarship was $17,751,000. However, since the number of students using that has been decreasing, the amount that was appropriated for the scholarships was only $11,750,000, of which we only expended a little under $8 million. So we've had a difference. There's been more money available to use for the APS each year. When you see an increase, this is an increase to the appropriation amount that the commission would be receiving to award, but it is not an increase above what was available to appropriate for the performance scholarship.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, you can go ahead and hold on to those funds that are not expended?
I'm sorry, Chair Olson, would you repeat that question?
So if I'm hearing you correctly, the amount that's appropriated can be put aside and be used for next year's appropriation as well?
Chair Olson, correct. This money is only appropriated to use for the awards, and it lapses or is not used from the Higher Education Fund.
Okay. Any further questions by members of the committee from Ms. Seifert?
I have a question.
Oh, I'm sorry, Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No, I apologize. I've been gone, and if you guys had a conversation around my question, I'll yield and catch up after the meeting's over. But Ms. Eifer, do you remember, I'm going back to page 12, and this is something I thought was very important, something I got a little pride of ownership in, but I don't like using the word but I was instrumental in implementing work keys. And work keys has great data, good testing, and I thought it was a great benchmark tool. And not only me, but a lot of Fortune 500 organizations around the world where these kids go to work. So anyway, with that being said, we did away with it in 2016, and I'm probably had to do something with money. Do you remember what we were paying a year to administer that? I can find that, but if you had a ballpark.
Ms. Eifer.
Through the chair, Senator Bishop, I do not have that number right now, but we could certainly get that information for you.
Okay. And just one final comment on work keys. That's the data that I used to drive CTE for this state for a long time, because work keys will tell you that 25% of the kids that graduate high school need to go to university. The other 75% of us need to go out and get a trade or a two-year AA degree program. And that's why I worked so hard to put this CTE money component in this performance scholarship program. So, thank you.
Ms. Seifert, do you have something to comment on?
Yeah, Senator Olson, thank you through the chair. Senator Bishop, the exciting thing about this bill, it increases the opportunity to use this scholarship for CTE programs and training. And so we are very excited about expanding and being able to expand that opportunity for students.
Any further questions for Senator Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Eford, could you describe for us a little bit the alternate evaluation that gets to eligibility for those independent homeschool students that the representative was talking about? Could you just, the first question would be, who does the evaluation? But then maybe, is it a portfolio? Is it a 5 hours of work to put together, 100 hours of work to put together?
Through the chair, Senator Keel, that part of the calculation for the classes and what is approved under the curriculum piece actually falls under the Department of Education. So I don't feel like I'm able to speak to. They actually, of course, work with the school districts and the curriculum and the classes that are approved and allowed under the current curriculum laid out in statute. So they would be working with the homeschool programs to determine what they would need to meet in order to be approved through that. So, but I'm sure they can get that information. I'm happy to relay that and get that information back.
Follow-up, Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll appreciate that.
Any further questions for Ms. Eford for members of the committee? If not, we'll go to our next invited testimony. That's Dr. Paul Lehrer, the Vice President of Academics for Students and Research there at the University of Alaska. Are you on, sir?
Yes, I am. Again, for the record, Paul Lehrer, Vice President for Academics, Students and Research with the University of Alaska. Thank you, Chair Olson. And I would like to thank Representative Ruffridge for carrying this bill forward to you, and Mr. Sexton for his presentation of the information there. And again, also I've worked very closely with Executive Director Eford on this. There's very little I can add that hasn't been presented regarding the text of the bill. There are parts of it, but I do want to say right off the bat that the University of Alaska wholeheartedly supports the changes to this legislation. The APS has been good for the university over the years, and this will strengthen participation and within for students in Alaska to keep them in Alaska. You know, a couple of key aspects of the bill, extending the notification timeline is really a benefit because it allows us to put together a competitive aid package for all students that combines the APS with federal support, with university support, so that we can give students early on a true reading of what their financial package will look like, to minimize their need to get loans, to minimize their taking on of debt. So again, we can be competitive then with outside institutions, which notify students much earlier about aid packages. So this really does fit in very well for us. The flexibility in qualifications, GPA or testing, is beneficial. We do not require any sort of standardized test for admission to any of our University of Alaska universities. And so we will allow, this will provide that flexibility for students to come in. The higher amounts are more reflective of the increases that we've seen in tuition since this bill was originally passed. And again, at the highest level, $7,000 a year pretty much is the tuition for 30 credits of either lower division or CTE credits. So again, it would provide support for students at a better and more competitive level. And again, the step up is something that we really value because we want to reward performance within the university, within our CTE programs, within our baccalaureate programs, even within our graduate programs. And if having that provision that you are rewarded for performance, I think is a very important incentive. So, you know, in short for us, when we look at these changes, it's a win for the students because, again, it will reduce the cost of access to higher education. It will provide the ability, the flexibility for students where testing is not easy to come by in a lot of our rural communities to have an opportunity to participate. It's a win for the university. We're hoping to see higher enrollments, keeping students in the state, keeping students at our universities and in our programs, And it's a win for the state. I mean, as you heard from Mr. Sexton, a student who stays, who attends school in Alaska stays in Alaska. A student who goes outside Alaska may never come back. And so having those students be in our universities, and again, the University of Alaska is one of the largest beneficiaries of the APS, and we value that very much, but we want to keep that talent in the state. We want to keep that talent within our programs, and we want to have those programs, both baccalaureate and CTE programs, geared towards Alaskans. So all of these changes that have been proposed in the legislation, we wholeheartedly support. There's not very much more I can say on that, Mr. Chair, but I will be happy to answer questions from the committee. Thank you very much for the opportunity to support this very important piece of legislation.
Do we have any questions by members of the committee for Dr. Lehrer? Dr. Lehrer, I do have one question. As you've been going over, watching the students come through, what has the caliber of student done over the last 5 or 10 years? Has the caliber gotten better or not on the decline, or what is out there?
Through the chair, thank you very much for that question. We have a wide range of students who come through the university. I think when we look at APS recipients in particular, as Mr. Sexton pointed out, they graduate at a higher rate, they retain at a higher rate. The other thing that we've been able to do is through our programs such as our dual enrollment programs, which high school students can get college credit, we are better preparing students to succeed in the university. We're also letting students know that they can succeed in the university. And so by going through dual enrollment programs, by academically performing to qualify for APS, we are seeing a higher quality of students coming through our system. And we're seeing that reflected in our retention rates, which are increasing, and our graduation rates, which are also very strong. So I do believe that the quality is increasing. And again, it's partnerships that we have with K-12, it's the partnerships that we have with DEED, and of course, working very closely with ACPE to ensure student success. Thank you.
Does anybody else on the committee have questions for Bill Sponsor, his aide, or Mr. Lehrer, Dr. Lehrer, or Ms. Eifert? Not Ms. Eifert, one of the questions I have for you is that if a student is in high school, does he have to pay for those college credits that he's gaining while they go to school there? And is APS allowed to pay for it?
Senator Olson, I do not believe APS is able to pay for high school students that are dually enrolled at this point in time. I think it depends on the actual district. Some districts do pay, I believe, for the students, mm-hmm. but I'm not sure that all of them are able to cover that cost for their students.
Whether they're APS available, if they're not available to them, then you can't use that fund to go and pay for those credits.
They would not be qualified for the APS until they completed the curriculum outlined in the statute. And so that would come at the end when they graduate, correct?
If there's no further questions, we will go ahead and set this bill aside. This closes and concludes our agenda for this afternoon. The next hearing will be tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., March 15th. If there's no other business to come before the committee, we're adjourned here at 2:33 p.m.